All right, so welcome everybody. My name is Hunter Hammack, and I'm a graduate student at the University of Tennessee. Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about my project, which involves different wavelengths of light and different intensities of light and how that can impact flavor volatile concentrations in hydroponically grown basil. So to begin our background, plants respond to a wide range of different wavelengths across the solar spectrum. It's been well established that plants have special pigment proteins called photoreceptors, and they react to different changes in light intensity and spectral quality. Light has been proven again and again to be one of the most important environmental factors and plays a major role in plant development and physiology, both primary and secondary metabolism. Plants don't have the ability to move, so they have to be able to adapt to their environment so they can have optimal growth. This diagram is a very basic, simple diagram showing the relative intensities of different wavelengths between PAR, photosynthetically active radiation, the human eye, and the solar spectrum. Primary and secondary metabolism are directly impacted by light quality, quantity, and duration. And these three factors have a lot of potential. If we can optimize each one of these factors for growth and development, we can provide huge efficiency increases. This diagram is a very generalized diagram showing some of the different effects that light can have on plants. For us in our research, we're primarily looking at different blue and red wavelengths, very specific narrow band wavelengths, and how we can provide the plant exactly what it wants. We're also curious in looking at different other secondary wavelengths and how secondary pigments would be impacted by that. For us, particularly for this experiment, we were looking solely at secondary metabolism and flavor volatile concentrations. Some basic definitions: a DLI, or daily light integral, is the amount of total PAR, or photosynthetically active radiation, received throughout a 24-hour period. This is important because the light intensity at any given second versus the light intensity over a period of time, like a day, can be completely different. If you have higher intensities for shorter periods of time, you can have the same amount for longer periods of time with lower intensities. And so when you vary the DLI in different crops, it can have significant impacts in plant morphology and secondary metabolism. In Tennessee and a lot of the northern states, there's a huge issue of light quality and quantity during winter months. In Tennessee, we get anywhere from 2 to 15 moles per day of light during winter, and that's highly variable based on the natural conditions, weather, et cetera. But for basil, a general common knowledge is anywhere from 12 to 20 is going to be the optimal DLI for that. And so in Tennessee, and it's very difficult to grow high quality basil without using some type of supplemental light. And so moving forward from this, we're really interested in seeing how we can optimize the light recipe, not just only the spectral quality, but the instantaneous intensity of the light and also the DLI to optimize quality and growth and at the end, flavor. And so to date there are a few published studies that share the relationship between spectral quality, DLI, and how plants can partition their resources into secondary metabolism and how we can manipulate secondary metabolism based on the environment that we have the plant in. If we can manipulate these environmental conditions like water, nutrient, substrates, temperature, et cetera, we can optimize for the growth and development of whatever crop we're trying to provide. And so a few objectives for this experiment. We wanted to determine the impact of progressive incremental DLIs on key flavor volatiles in basil. We also wanted to compare these different narrow band blue and red wavelengths, very specific narrow band plus or minus 5 nanometers. And we want to use these supplements and compare these to traditional HPS lighting systems and see how those affect flavor volatiles. We already know that the different types of lighting and different spectra can significantly impact plant growth development, but we're curious about the secondary metabolism. So for materials and methods, we use Genovese pesto basil. We selected basil because there's a lot of research done on it, and in addition to that, it's a very good model crop. It has high market demand and value across the United States. We performed this experiment from September 2016 to 2017. We had our seedlings transplanted 14 days after seeding, and plants were harvested 45 days after seeding. We had a standard hydroponic system, ebb and flow, with complete nutrient solutions under standard greenhouse conditions. And in terms of the environmental parameters, the most important one I want to focus on is the DLI and the spectrum. So I have a chart here that very, very clearly shows all the different parameters. The ones that I really want to focus on in particular is the DLI for each of the months and also the different wavelengths of light that are provided by the solar spectrum. So obviously, the DLI changes from season to season, from spring to or fall to spring, and also the day length is obviously going to change from fall to spring. We also wanted to take note of these specific wavelengths and what the sun was providing using a spectroradiometer, and then we also measured what we provided to the plant so that we could have the full picture of what the plant was receiving, and we wanted to compare normal, the sun normal spectrum to these different wavelengths of light. In terms of our lighting treatments, we had one non-supplemented natural light control. We had two HPS treatments, which were 6 hours and 12 hours supplement, and then we had six 20 blue, 80 red percentage LED treatments with 3, 6, 9, 12, 18, and 24 hours. We also provided each of these supplemental treatments at 100 micromoles per second. And the main thing that we were interested in seeing is the intensities provided, the instantaneous intensities provided the same, but for different periods of time and increasing the DLI. We used RCB design with 6 reps per treatment, ANOVA and LSD test using SAS will perform. In terms of our volatile analysis, we used two different pre-made libraries and a custom library that we made using our own analytical standards, and we used these analytical standards to create calibration curves so that we could accurately quantify the amount of each flavor volatile that we were interested in. We reported all these flavor volatile concentrations in micromolar per grams of fresh weight, and we used this unit very strategically because this is a very accurate way to represent VOC emissions from headspace sampling, which is what we use. We use a GCMS headspace network from Agilent. We were able to find over 200 different secondary metabolites when we ran our profiles in GCMS. For the sake of our project, we narrowed it down to the top 15 we found in the literature that were important for flavor, and also one or two that were detrimental to flavor or that was not preferable. And so just to look through a few of these different concentrations, linalool is a very popular commercial essential oil. Linalool, the best way to describe it is it tastes like fruity pebbles. It's very popular. It's very popular in the commercial industry, but it's also one of the primary flavor volatiles in basil. Across the different lighting treatments, we have the LED first, we have the two HPS, and at the end, we have the natural light control. On the y-axis, across all of these graphs, we're going to have VOC concentration in micromolar per gram of fresh weight sample. And so across the different lighting treatments, there is a significant difference. What we found really interesting is that between the 12 and the 24-hour, there was no significant difference. In addition to that, the 6-hour HPS, even though different intensities of the light were provided, over a period of time, there was not a significant difference. And in comparison to that, the natural light control did not have a significant difference from any of these, from any of the 12 to 24, even the HPS treatments. And so this leads us to believe that there's something more going on than just the DLI and also just the spectral quality. If we can match a 6 HPS and the 6-hour LED, even though the spectrum is different, even though the intensity is different, the spectrum is different. Alpha pinene smells like pine cones. It's also following the same pattern that we see across mono and diterpenes. Same patterns are in the bound. Another thing I want to point about the natural light control, it was about half the height of the 12 to 24 hour LED treatments and also about half the weight. And so even though the growth, the primary metabolism was not equal, the volatiles for a majority of the mono and the diterpenes were. Beta pinene is the enantiomer. It follows a very similar pattern. And this tells us that when we are looking at the pathways and we're looking at resource partitioning for secondary metabolism, we know that there are resources being pushed into this pathway, but it is not at the point at which the enantiomer is made, the alpha or the beta pinene. And since a lot of these mono and diterpenes are increasing production when we use these treatments, we can speculate that these pathways are receiving more products and there more energy is being devoted to these so that we can improve flavor. Eucalyptol is another very popular essential oil. It's also very very highly demand in the basil concentration. It follows the same pattern as the mono and the diterpenes. One of the really interesting parts of this, we looked at methyl eugenol, we looked at some phenols and sequestered terpenes, and we found that they actually showed an opposite pattern. The more light that we provided the treatment, for the most part, the less the intensity. We also found that for the 3-hour LED had the highest amount, 3 or 4 fold over the 6 and the 12-hour HPS. We also found the natural light control had more than the 6-hour HPS, and this could be for a variety of reasons. One, it could be because the light is causing a genetic expression to push some of the products into one pathway versus the other, and they're actually pulling some of the resources that would have been devoted to the methyl eugenol compound away and putting it towards other things. Another thing we found really interesting is during the winter, HPS obviously puts off a high amount of light and heat intensity. And so the LEDs are run very cool. When we look at these different treatments, the 6 and the 12-hour are very similar. They are not statistically different. And we speculate that because the high intensity of the HPS light, some of the methyl eugenol may be volatilizing. So there are a lot of different impacts here, not only metabolic pathway impacts, but how are these lights affecting the physiology of the plant. We also have a graph to show some of the major compounds that we looked at. Across the board, there are changes depending on the lighting treatment. There are a lot of patterns when we start digging in and really looking at these different compounds and how they relate to one another and how they relate chemically. And so we can use this information to backtrack and fill in some of the gaps in the metabolic pathways that we may not have known before. And so, in conclusion, for most of the compounds that we have, the highest concentrations were observed in the LED supplements ranging for 12 to 24 hours. Again, this is the mono and the diterpenes. Sequestered terpenes follow the exact opposite pattern. Supplemental lighting type, such as LEDs, HPS, have a significant impact based on the flavor and the variety. The level of the impact is also related to the compound's chemical class. And so depending on where it's made in the pathway, it has an impact. And so we want to figure out exactly how the light is affecting the genetic expression, where in the pathway are these products being diverted. Secondary metabolic resource partitioning may be altered by manipulating photosynthetic photon flux density, spectral quality, application length, or DLI. All of these are separate, and they all have to be factored in when advising commercial growers. And when we're, a lot of LED companies have begun to pop up lately, and they have a lot of different ideas about what is best for the plant. Each plant has its own recipe, and we can use this information to provide to the industry, the lighting industry, but also to the growers and educate them so that they can have the highest possible quality and yield. Another thing that we found really interesting is that human sensory perception or the bioactivity of these compounds doesn't equal a human's taste or response or the quantitative headspace emission. There's a separation between that. And it wildly depends based on the chemicals compound. And the eucalyptol, for example, even though it's in very high concentrations, it's not as detectable. There's the lower threshold limit. Versus methyl eugenol, for example, it tastes like clove. It is very, very bioactive, and it's a very, very low threshold. In addition to that, we're also interested in looking at some sensory panels so that we can tell what is actually preferred by customers. If we can grow Genovese and manipulate the flavor for different applications, that's very preferable. Also, if we know that increasing these lights or decreasing these lights and changing specific flavor compounds may impact the overall flavor of the plant, but for example, like methyl eugenol, some people love clove, some people do not. And so if we increase the clove flavor in basil, it may not be preferable for some guests. It may be. And so we want to look at other high-value specialty crops and how we can use this as a model for other crops and how we can determine ideal supplemental lighting practices. And so with that, I want to thank the University of Tennessee Knoxville, the UTI, and I'm also very thankful for my two mentors, Dr. Dean Copsell and Dr. Carl Sams. I'm very thankful to be able to work with such brilliant people on this project, and I feel like light and the LED lighting industry has a lot of potential, and if we can provide this resource to the growers, we can help them have the best plant possible. So with that, I want to thank all of you for your time, and I'll take any questions. Yes. Yes.
Do you have some light picture about it?
We do have a frame, and we put a light. So we wanted to make sure that we had the shadowing effects, of course, and keep that into consideration. But we did not put a light on top of that. We do not provide any light for the natural light control.
Okay.
So, one really quick question, yes.
Yes, do you have any idea what is the post-harvest stability of the volatile? In other words, will the benefits transfer all the way to the consumer, or will you lose that in the post-harvest?
So the question was about post-harvest and if you can maintain this throughout post-harvest. In some of the literature, we have seen an impact of that. It depends on the chemical. It depends on the post-harvest conditions, and it also depends on the there's a lot of different factors, but I think so, for sure. So, all right, well, we're going to go and move on to the next one. Thank you, guys.